Local Content Podcast, your go-to source for content creation, strategy, and business inspiration. I'm your host, Mel Daniels, content strategist, coach, and speaker, empowering women across the globe to grow their business with powerful content that connects, nurtures, and converts. So if you're ready to create standout content that gets you noticed and remembered, or build an aligned audience who love you and are ready to buy from you, you're in the right place. I believe that content has the power to connect us all. It's up to you how you use it. Listen in for genuine and insightful chats with guests, as well as practical tools and strategies from me. It's so lovely to have you here. Let's dive into the show. I acknowledge the Wangal people of the Eora Nation as the traditional custodians of the country that I am recording from today. I recognise their continuing connection to the land and waters. I pay my respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to all First Nation people listening today. Hello, hello, beautiful people, and welcome to episode 105 of the Powerful Content Podcast. Today's guest is one that I have been really, really, really looking forward to speaking with, and that's Louise O'Reilly. The oppressive status quo is something Louise refuses to swallow. Louise comes with her unique self-expression, heart-centered rebelliousness, and clarity around her vision of an all-inclusive world. Louise is a proud Warawa Noongar woman and an inclusion, diversity, equity, and allyship coach for heart-centered, socially conscious entrepreneurs. She offers the Inclusion Creators Collective membership, which is filled with monthly workshops, coaching, guest speakers, and more. Louise offers limited one-on-one coaching services. Her dream is to stimulate the co-creation of a more inclusive world. She is driven by her children, cheered on by her husband, and inspired by the calling from within. Outside of business, Louise was a freelance writer for Amnesty International Australia, a radio host on Noongar Radio, a Miss NAIDOC Perth finalist, and is currently part of an Aboriginal-led 10-year visionary reconciliation project, a first for Australia, in Boorloo, Perth. Welcome to the show, Louise.
Thank you so, so much for having me. I am so excited to be here speaking with you and having this amazing chat with your listeners. So thank you.
I truly appreciate you being here because there is so much to learn in this space. And, you know, before we hit record, I even said that even I am a newbie in this space, and I just know that my listeners are going to really get so much from this conversation, Louise. So, yeah, thank you so much. Before we start, before we jump into things, I would love to get a few perhaps explanations out of the way if we could. What is allyship? And what does that look like?
Oh, that is a fantastic and such a juicy question. And before I quickly get into it, I would love to do an acknowledgement of country. Now, I know, Mel, you do an acknowledgement of country as a bit of an intro, but I'd also like to do a quick acknowledgement for the custodians from the places in which I'm joining you from. And that is, of course, the Whadjuk Noongar people here. I acknowledge them for their custodial role that they fulfill here, have always fulfilled, are currently fulfilling, and will always continue to fulfill. And I'd also like to pay respects to the elders here and thank them for their love, their guidance, their community leadership, and all of their support. And I'd also love to extend an acknowledgement to all of the listeners out there and to the custodians from the places on which you're listening from, and to the elders in whatever title they refer to themselves in that place. So back to that question, that amazing question, you know, what is allyship and what does that actually look like? Allyship is a verb. That's the thing I'm going to start with first. It is a doing thing. Allyship is not a title. It's not something you can do one form of being an ally, then claim to be always an ally. You're an ally when you're doing something to be an ally to marginalized communities. So it is when you are doing a kind of an advocacy or standing alongside or being in support of, you're actually doing something that supports the human rights of a marginalized community that you don't belong to. So that's really important to define there. It's when you don't actually belong to the community, but you can see their humanity. You can see the mistreatment that's happening there, and you can see the denial of their own rights in that space. You can see the injustice. And so you're going to go, me, as someone who stands outside of this community, can see this and knows it's not okay. So I'm going to do something with my power and my privilege and my influence. That could be your platforms, that could be all kinds of different things to support these people in having their rights met and to making sure fairness and equity is delivered to this community because I can see it's completely not fair.
What an amazing description. And I love how you've said that allyship is a verb. It's a doing word.
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
it's not something that we place on, the mantelpiece. It's something that we're actively engaged in. So, Louise, then what's the difference between allyship and thinking about being inclusive? Or is there a difference?
There is and there isn't. So
Okay.
if you are being inclusive, what that essentially means is you are being an ally in your inclusivity. You've recognized that in, let's talk about it in terms of business, because most of your listeners are business owners or are in that entrepreneurial space.
Right.
So you can recognize that there are groups of people who just aren't considered in mainstream business practices or strategies. And we might just not be taught in a way to do business that is inclusive of these marginalized communities. Now, I say marginalized and not minority communities because marginalized people make up a majority of the world. So, for instance, women or people who identify as women are a larger percentage of the world, and yet we are a marginalized community. So, just thinking about in that way, there's a majority of the world that's actually not being included in our businesses. They're not being included in the way we use our language and our copy in our business. We're not being inclusive in terms of our imagery. We're not being inclusive in terms of making sure that our spaces that we're holding and creating are actually culturally safe for these different groups. And as particularly as service-based business owners, it is our duty of care to make sure the spaces that we are providing are safe for people who are coming into them and paying us for our services. Yet, inclusion and inclusivity is one of those things that are quite often seen as almost like a luxury item. Let me just do all the business stuff and inclusion comes second, or I've got to set all this stuff up and then I'll work on the inclusion. Whereas in fact, inclusivity is woven into every single aspect of our business. It is in the way we hold our body. It is in the thoughts that we have in our mindset. It is in the way we use our language and our copy. It is in the way we be creative, the way we set up our programs. It is in every single piece. So if you are separating the two, number one, you may not be inclusive. And I know sometimes that is a little bit hard to swallow. But if we want to be creating a world that's more loving and compassionate and kind and inclusive, we need to get real with ourselves and how we are actually participating in either maintaining the status quo, which is exclusionary, or whether we are going to take a look and do a little bit of introspection and go, what can I do with who I am, my power, and my privilege in my business to make it more inclusive and therefore create a more inclusive world. So there's all those things interwoven. And that, even that little mindset shift in understanding inclusion is business. You miss out on so much if you don't. You miss out on so many clients who would love to have your services, who need what you've got to offer into the world, but you're not talking to them. You're not including them. And so they go, oh, I'm obviously not welcome in your space. I'm not the right person for you, or I don't feel safe in your space. You're missing out on the richness and just all the beauty that it has, all the beauty.
So let's just talk about that for a second, Louise. Oh my goodness, can I just say that there's so much to unpack there, and I just want to pull out one thing if I can, that
Yes.
business and inclusivity are not mutually exclusive. They are just
No.
one and the same. Oh my goodness, I love that. But let's just talk about creating a welcoming and safe space, because I think that perhaps those words don't mean a lot to business owners if they're not sure what are the actions or what does that actually look like in business. Yes. So can you give a bit of an idea to my listeners what a welcoming and safe space looks like?
Absolutely. And this, oh my gosh, you ask the most amazing questions. I love this. So to people who live in a culture that is the dominant culture, often it's really super difficult to identify different aspects of business that speak to inclusivity. So I'm going to come to you as an Aboriginal woman and share some of my experiences or share some of my thoughts on this.
Great. Thank you. I would love that.
So when you come into a business, for me as a Aboriginal person, I'm always a little bit on the defensive if I'm in a new business space, always. So I'm always firstly looking for either green flags or red flags to tell me whether you're a safe person. Now, you don't get a long amount of time to prove to me that you are potentially a safe business person for me. So you need to be very open with your inclusivity. And that could be things like having an acknowledgement to country. So that tells me, okay, you accept and acknowledge that there are First Peoples of this country and that you acknowledge that Aboriginal people are those custodians. So that's like, okay, that's a little red flag. That's good. Let's move to the next thing. And there might be something talking about, there might be some kind of social justice thing going on in the world, and you might have said something about it. Or you might have spoken a little bit about why inclusion is important to you. Or you might have spoken about the importance of accessibility in your industry. Or you might have talked about some kind of injustice that has happened or some kind of flaw in your industry or even in your own business, your own recognition of, oops, I've made a mistake here and I recognize that and I'm acknowledging it. And this is what I'm going to do moving forward to make sure it doesn't happen again. Those are all like little green flags that help me know that potentially you are a safe person to work with. It could also look like the type of language that you use. For me personally, I will watch your videos. Like I love listening to videos or podcasts or things like that. I will read a bit of copy, but a wall of words does not do too much for me. But if you are using gendered language, I'm almost out. Like if you are working with people who identify as women, and you are coming in saying, hi, guys, that's almost a no, straight away, a no for me. You have no recognition that you are totally discrediting the womanhood of your audience just with that opening statement. Having little things like making sure you have pronouns whenever you're in public spaces acknowledges the fact that you know that non-binary people exist and people exist outside of that binary situation of being cisgendered, where you are born assigned a certain gender and you align with that in comparison with people who don't align with those assigned genders. So those little things are all green flags, and it never has to be just about the marginalized community that I belong to. Because I recognize the liberation of my own community is the liberation of all marginalized communities. It is all interwoven, and we all have the same oppressor. That privileged system is oppressing all of these marginalized communities. So if I can see you acknowledging and recognizing marginalized communities and recognizing that there is that imbalance of power or influence, there is that unjustness, there is people not being fair, there is mistreatment, there is social conditioning happening to make people treat people differently, they're all things that are going to make me feel safer. But then there's also business stuff behind the scenes that you can do. So in your programs or in your closed spaces, you can have things like policies that are non-discrimination policies or anti-racism policies and things like that. And making sure you have these, what I call safety nets for marginalized people. When they come into your space, there are some agreements that everyone who comes into your space agrees to not participate in any form of discrimination, or you have a policy that makes sure this is the process I'm going to go through to make sure people are safe in my space. The last thing I do want to touch on is a very visual kind of one. If you are celebrating things that are important to my community, you might not belong to my community, but you're still celebrating along with us those beautiful things. If you are acknowledging when there is injustice in my community, and if you are using language or images that represent my community, they are all things too that help me know you potentially are a safe person.
Wow. Okay. So lots of amazing ideas for business owners there to really start to include more inclusivity into their business, which is amazing. I'm just really interested to know, you just mentioned lastly there from a visual perspective that you appreciate when imagery from your culture is being used by those people who are not part of your culture. I'm interested to know why you don't find it offensive.
I do find it offensive if it's used as a form of, have you heard of like greenwashing, businesses greenwashing and things like that, where they
explain that put, for us.
They put things like eco whatever or green whatever, which gives the impression that they are very environmentally friendly business, but actually it's not. It's just the name.
Right.
So this is almost like a way of saying it is, it's like an Aboriginal washing type thing. So don't use it unless Aboriginal people are going to be safe in your community. You are actually doing the work behind the scenes to unpack some of your unconscious biases around that. You are doing the work to understand the culture and how to be more inclusive. And you have some form of mentor that is helping you through that, because it is something that you can't actually do on your own. Because in a society, when you are taught a certain way of being and a way of doing business, that is the entire universe of everything that is consisted in that. There, you can't know anything outside of that. And I know we think we are really amazing humans and, you know, we can do all the things. But if you have no kind of drips of experience or knowledge or background of anything different from what you've been experiencing, it's very difficult for you to ever come up with something that can support a different community that you've never been exposed to. So it is about exposing yourself to Aboriginal people and culture and the stories and the language and the injustice and the celebration. So all the little bits and pieces in that can really, really help. So I do find it offensive when you are using things like Aboriginal art to profit from. I do find it offensive when you are using Aboriginal images to portray your business as being diverse and inclusive, when in fact you're not doing the behind the scenes stuff. And I find it offensive if you're using it in order to attract diversity. So it's, if you have Aboriginal people who are working with you in your business, that is a fair representation of who you have in your spaces. So I would, before I would use any images, I would encourage you to really look at the culture of Aboriginal people and what do we require culturally to make sure we are safe in your spaces. And that will naturally attract, organically attract Aboriginal people into your space. And then at that point, then you can go, okay, I've got Aboriginal people in my space. It's a fair representation of who is in my business, in my spaces, to share these amazing people.
So what I'm hearing, Louise, is it's around the intention, but the work that goes with it, the behind the scenes work that's going with it, as well as understanding the culture from a mentor's perspective. And can I just say, if you want a mentor, that would have to be Louise, but it's getting that support to really truly understand and how to integrate it into every being of your business. Awesome. I love it so much. So I think that also, Louise, and sometimes I feel like this, and I'm sure that my listeners feel like this as well, that in this world, there are lots of big issues and we can feel like we're perhaps a small fish in a huge pond, and that anything that we do as an individual in life, in business, with our content can have little impact. So why bother? Why bother even trying to do this? So if there's anyone who's feeling like that, what would you say to encourage them, Louise?
First of all, I would say it is a completely normal response to have that feeling, completely normal. And this is why with my clients, I like to work with them on their unique allyship style or unique inclusion style in their business. Because every single person is very vital and important in this, what I call the inclusion revolution. And there is no one who can fulfill your role. Only you can. You were born with a certain set of gifts and talents. You were born and you have these amazing values. You have this vision of the kind of world and future you have. All these things combine together to make a really unique fingerprint of you. And so only you can do this kind of allyship in your particular way. And it's not to say, so allyship doesn't always have to look the same. There are different ways of doing allyship. Sometimes it's big, loud, and bold in front of lots of people. Sometimes it can be really quiet and behind the scenes, but they still make an impact. We need everyone to be taking, you know, an allyship action to actually move the needle, because it's when people feel that disheartened feeling that, well, who am I? How can I actually create a difference? I see the world and I see how it is and I don't like it, but how can I possibly change it? You can. You can, because you're part of a whole movement of people who believe in that same thing too. And we can't achieve it without you being part of it. So we all have privilege. Right. We all have some form of influence. You know, it might be we have influence with our children. We have influence with our audiences. We have influences with our coworkers and biz besties. So the question then is, if you can identify what your particular privilege is, that equates to influence. And how are you going to use your privilege? Are you going to use it to continue maintaining the status quo? Continue maintaining what is, full knowing you don't like it, you don't agree with it? Or are you going to go, what can I do to change this story? What can I do as an individual to make some kind of change? And in business, we have amazing, amazing opportunities to do this. There is so much in business that is in supportive of exclusion, that is in supportive of denying accessibility to people, in support of denying people human rights, all those kinds of things. In our businesses, as business owners, we can say, yeah, no, no, thank you. I'm not playing that game. I don't do it this way. This is how I do it. And you can change the story. And the beautiful thing about you just showing up inclusively is you then have that ripple of inclusion that goes out into your audience. People see you. People see you as a leader. People see you as a role model. You're not just following something blindly anymore. You're being really conscious and you're stepping out of that being a socially conscious business owner. So a business owner that just knows that there is inadequacies in the world, into a socially responsible business owner who is actually taking action. It is so, so amazing. And if you can feel that inspiration, you can feel that call, just know you can do something. Everyone can. We need imperfect action. So I want to say it's imperfect action from everyone. We don't need it to be perfect. We just need us all to be fumbling along, and that will help make some great changes around the world.
Oh my goodness. And I think that that's such an amazing piece of advice, that we don't have to be perfect in our actions. It's about being a part of something bigger. And I did feel quite emotional seeing your passion as well as hearing your passion around this, because I do believe that we are all part of something bigger. We are all part of something bigger. And if we can recognize that and lean into the fact that perhaps there is just one thing that I can do today, there is one thing that I can do tomorrow to make a difference, to showcase my beliefs around this. Because like you said, sometimes I feel overwhelmed with just sadness I guess, at people's responses to things. And, you know, recently we've had the referendum and Australia Day here in Australia. Both of those things have caused a lot of emotions, a lot of discussion. And I often feel so sad when I see the outcomes of this and see people's opinions around it. But I think now having the perspective of knowing that I'm part of something bigger can really help to ensure that I continue that momentum of thinking about inclusion and including it more in my business. So thank you, Louise.
Yeah. And there's two sides to that as well. There's two sides to that stick. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're feeling that sadness with those kinds of discussions and the things that have been said. That automatically, based on your own internal compass, tells you something is out of alignment. Mm-hmm. Something is not right here. So a way to step out of that really disempowered space is to go, what is the opposite end of that? What is the opposite end of that sadness? What does that actually look like? It looks like people being included. It looks like people being compassionate. It looks like community. It looks like love and acceptance and all those beautiful things. That's what it looks like. And so rather than going, okay, I'm sad by this and I feel really disempowered and it really is quite an awful state to be in, we can go, okay, let me step into my empowered state and go, how can I be someone who ignites inclusion, someone who ignites acceptance or love? What can I do right now to step into that space and be that person? Because we also have that concept of vibration, right? And like attracts like. So if we're being in that state of sadness and despair, that's what we're attracting more into the world. And we can choose to stay in that. And, you know, I'm one of those people who believes every emotion is beautiful and powerful and important. So I believe it's really great to feel that, but we can also train ourselves to feel that and know why we feel it and then go, how can we move through this really quickly so we can actually jump back into being change makers?
Wow, that's amazing. And I love that change of perspective and how you can change your mindset around how you're feeling to flip it into something that you want it to be. So thank you for sharing that with us. Louise, before we move on to content and inclusivity, I just want to ask you one more question.
Sure.
You mentioned before about going internally and understanding or identifying your own privilege.
Yes.
And then applying that to the way you conduct your business. How do we do that? How do we acknowledge, I guess, is the first step, our privilege, and how do we identify it?
Yep. So some of the ways you can do it is really starting to identify some of the thoughts that you have. And this is linked in with your unconscious biases. So if you are ever experienced or around someone who's from a marginalized community that you don't belong to, really pay attention to the thoughts that are automatically popping into your head. Really pay attention to the feelings you're feeling. Really pay attention to your visceral reactions that are happening in your body, because then you can start to question yourself. You can start to go, why did I just think that thought? And you can ask these questions. You can ask, you know, is it, and this is what I do in my Uncovering Unconscious Bias workshops that I hold in my membership every month. So the question is it true? As in, what I'm thinking, is it something that factual that actually happens in the world? You can ask the question, is it real? As in, have you ever experienced the thing or the fear that you're feeling during that time? And is it mine? Is this thought something you have actually created and something you actually believe in? Or is it something that's been conditioned into you, something that's been imprinted from you from, you know, a plethora of sources from the community? And so this is the thing with social conditioning, is it won't just be from one source often. It will be from multiple sources saying the same kinds of message, and it just continues to scaffold and concrete in certain beliefs about certain groups of people. So what we can do is go, you know, I'm feeling this thing. Is that really what I want to believe in the world? Or is that what I'm consciously believe about myself and my own thoughts? And what you may find is that it's actually incongruent. the things that you automatically think in your mind and the feelings you feel in your body aren't in alignment with what you consciously believe about the world or you consciously believe about yourself. I want you to be gentle with yourself in these situations because this is when we get to the level of your own personal identity. And this is below that subconscious level. This is like your core beingness. And so this is where you touch that and you can really start to evaluate, am I really being the person I truly want to be in this world? Or am I living on autopilot and doing the things I've been taught to do that aren't in alignment with who I really am? And we live on autopilot. Most of our life is on autopilot. So when we can start having that awareness of ourselves and our thoughts, we can start to choose to live in a way that is in alignment with who we believe ourselves to be and want ourselves to be, that very best version of ourselves.
Fabulous. So it's really about the awareness piece, asking the questions.
Yes.
And then it's a choice whether we want to continue down the same path or whether we want to change things a little bit. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I just want to quickly, before we wrap up, Louise, just go into inclusivity in content in particular.
Yes.
Perhaps you can give my listeners maybe a few tips or a few ideas on how to, maybe how they're not being inclusive in their content right now, but how to be more inclusive in their content.
Sure, sure. So certainly gendered language is a big topic that we've been talking about for a few years now, really. So making sure when you're addressing your audience, you're curating it to be the people you're meant to be talking to. So if it is a group of people who identify as women or non-binary people, again, not using guys as a way of addressing that particular community, but also looking at things a little bit deeper and looking at your own ideas or concepts of what things like womanhood means. Because what womanhood means to one woman can be very vastly different to what womanhood means to another person. And so I would like to kind of give my concept of what woman means to me, because I think that might help with that inclusive language.
Please do.
To me, being a woman is identifying as a woman, full stop. That is the entirety of being a woman. Everything else that goes along with that is nothing. It's just personal choices. So what I find is that there are lots, and I'm not saying that we don't have lots of common experiences in womanhood, but in really defining things like that in a very particular narrow way, it really does exclude a lot of women from coming into your spaces because they don't see themselves in your copy. They go, oh, well, I do identify as a woman, but you're talking about this thing as if that's the only way you can be a woman. Obviously, this is not a safe space for me to be in. It is really looking at how we define every group of people, that every niche that we're working with, really, and going, what actually defines these people? We can talk about some common things, goes, you know, some of us experience this, and isn't it terrible or isn't it amazing that we can experience these things? But then in it, you can say, now I acknowledge this isn't the experience of every single person in this particular group. If you experience something different, maybe let us know so we can talk about that too. Or sharing different cultural days. When you acknowledge our significant days, that tells us you see us, that you value us as being part of the community enough to put it in your content. Even if you don't celebrate those days, even if you don't actually do whatever it is on those days, you can just say, oh yes, community who's in my business community, I see you and I just want to say happy whatever day it is. Yes, I don't celebrate that, but that doesn't mean I don't want to wish you a happy whatever day it is. So it's ways of just doing it like that. But also remember, it's not just about the celebration and showing up on those really positive, happy things. We need you to show up on the sad things too, in the spaces where we are having great injustice in our communities. And speaking up, even though it can feel hard, sometimes when you're talking about these social issues, quite a lot of the time they're quite polarizing for people. So we need you to show up and talk about those hard things too, and really draw a line in the sand and say, this is acceptable in my business spaces and this is not acceptable in my business spaces. Now, you don't have to change anyone else's mind on it. You don't have to say, you have to believe what I believe or you get out of here. All you need to do is say, this is where I stand on this. And you can draw some boundaries. You know, if you overstep this boundary, I'm going to have to do this thing. But you most certainly don't have to believe in what I believe. But that really does show a huge amount of inclusion, because as marginalized people, we know that you are going outside of that status quo of conforming or just keeping quiet or being silent on things that you know aren't right. You're actually choosing to make a noise and to bring awareness to and to make a stand on something that is not impacting your particular community. So that all those kinds of things really, really make a massive difference in copy.
Yeah. And I think that the words that are really standing out for me as you were talking just then, Louise, words are coming into my head. And it's around the awareness, around the intention, yes, around being mindful, and actually bringing the you in your content to it as well. And really understanding that not everyone is the same. Not everyone comes from the same experiences, the same background, the same culture, but we can be part of a huge community doing great things in this world. So thank you so much for sharing this. Louise, before we wrap up today, I really love asking all of my guests what their actual superpower is and how they bring it to the table. I would love to know, what's your superpower?
My superpower is certainly my voice. It is something, and I might get a little bit emotional here. It is a wonderful gift and it is an absolute honor to be able to speak to you, your listeners, and to anyone who will listen to me, because I am the first generation in my family since colonization where people who aren't in the Aboriginal community, you see, I'm getting there, are willing to listen to me. Willing to listen to our stories, are willing to listen to my family's stories, and are willing to listen in order to be part of the change. So it is a massive honor to be able to speak in all these different spaces. So that's why I come on these things. This is why I talk. This is why I do video. This is why I had been doing blogs. It's because our stories are so important and our stories connect us. And if your listeners start diving into this, they would be surprised at how connected we truly are to one another and how similar we are to one another, even though we have very different cultures. You know, we all want to thrive and have a joyful life. We all love our children and want them to have better and to have all the things that we never had and enjoy the things that we couldn't possibly enjoy. So we all have these beautiful connected pieces, and it could just be connection in terms of, we live in the same area. Isn't that beautiful? Or I learned this bread baking recipe from my nana and so did you. Isn't that beautiful? Inclusion is the way of the future. It is how we get back to us and who we really are. It is a way for us to become more human. Unfortunately, the privileged system is a system that constantly tells us we are not enough. We are not good enough. We are not smart enough. We don't know enough. We are not great at business enough. All these kinds of things is exactly what the privilege system does, and it aims to isolate us. Inclusion brings us back together and tells us no matter what, you are good enough, you are worthy, and we are totally all in this together. My liberation is yours too.
Amazing. amazing. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you for sharing your superpower with us. Thank you for sharing your voice with us, because without people like you in this world who do speak up and who do help other people really understand inclusivity and understand what privilege means and how we can make this world a better place, include more people in whether it's our content, our business, our life. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for sharing your superpower with us today. Do you have any other final parting words of wisdom? Like, if someone's listening to this today, what is perhaps one thing that you would love them to walk away in action today? What would you want it to be?
Oh, the one thing I would love you to do is do a quick audit on your social media and all the people you're following. Have a look and just flick through and look at, are all the people identifying the same way or looking the same way? And if there is people who constantly are coming up that look the same way and come from the same culture, same background, same ethnicity, I would encourage you to block out a little bit of time to search for content creators who look different, who have different cultures, who have different perspectives and stories about things either in your business or about life in general. Exposing us to diversity in a conscious way and teaching your algorithms that you want to see different people with different perspectives and ideas is a wonderful way to do it. And the one more piece of advice I do want to offer too is that when we are talking about social change or social impact, or talking about inclusion in our business, I would love it for you to come to it from a space of neutrality, where you're coming into it and doing it because that is a reflection of who you are as a person, and to not have attachment to whether people agree with you or disagree with you, or you change their minds over different things or not. Just come at it, I am sharing who I am. This is a representation of me. And regardless of what happens on the outside, this is what I know to be right and true and truth for myself. And if you do want more tips on how to have effective communication in social impact conversations and things like that, I also do have an ebook which has 10 of my top tips on having that as well. So that way you're protected. And your energy is safe and you feel good and light and great when you do it too. They're big topics and sometimes they can be heavy, but we don't have to take that heaviness in with us, because in reality, we want to be creating a beautiful, light, wonderful, loving world. And so that needs more of that energy in it.
Oh, I love it so much. Now, if you want to follow Louise or grab that checklist she just mentioned, it will be down in the show notes. I thoroughly recommend it. And I love your tip about going onto your social media and just adding a little bit of diversity. I think I shall be doing that as well. So thank you for sharing that with us. So thank you so much, Louise. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your wisdom with my listeners. I truly appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much. Like I said, I'm so, so grateful.
Thanks so much for listening. That's it for another week. To get more powerful content in your life, make sure you're following along on socials. My handle is @meldbusiness. And just in case you're wondering, the groovy music for this podcast was created by Just Here on SoundCloud. I'd also be super grateful if you took a moment to rate and review this podcast so more amazing women like you can experience the power of content. And if you're like, hell Mel, stop talking, I'm ready to work with you now, here's how we can work some powerful content magic together. Firstly, come and join The Content Effect, my membership inspiring women with service-based businesses to ditch the content chaos and start creating standout content that gets you noticed and makes sales. You can join us by using the link in the show notes or just Google The Content Effect. The second way we can work together is via my one-on-one packages. We can create a sustainable content strategy or start to build out your client journey. It's up to you. Hop on over to meldbusinessservices.com.au/services to find out more. Until next time, have a beautiful week and embrace the power of your content.